Begin our time of worship in the Word. As you know, we're looking at this third relationship. We've talked about the context already related to what Paul is doing in this session. He wants the Christian household to be different than the Roman household. Now, in the households of Rome, there often were masters and slaves. The slave situation in the ancient Rome was very prevalent. A good portion of the population were slaves. This was slaves that came about as a result of economic hardship or captives in war. It's very different than the slavery that we may be familiar with in our own American context. So as we look at these verses, we want to look at them in terms of not necessarily the master-slave relationship that existed in our own country, but rather just in the slave-master relationship in the Roman Empire. In fact, we could broaden the application of this, and this is very common to do this as an application, of the employee-employer relationship. A lot of what Paul is talking about would fit more directly into that kind of relationship. In fact, if you think about it, these verses on slaves and masters could actually be broadened even further into the chain of leadership and authority that we all experience. Think about it this way. In all of our different relationships, there are some relationships in which we are subordinate to others. We serve on a committee in which others are more in charge, or we work in a job in which we are not the boss, but we report to a boss. But at the same time, many of us also, even if we have some relationships in that category, are in other situations where we are kind of in charge over others. We serve as a chairman of a committee, or we are the leader of a club, or we are the boss of a handful of employees at work. And so some of the principles that we could glean from both the slave and the master side of this equation have application for us. So I want us to look at these next set of verses with the idea of how do these verses speak to me as I am both subordinate to some in my relationships and also have authority and exercise power over others. How should I carry out those kinds of relationships? Paul begins in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 22, with the words, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eyes are on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart for the Lord." So we see the context here is we are to be serving others, not with others necessarily in mind, not currying on their favor, but rather serving the Lord. Verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men." That's a perspective issue. That's a who am I really serving kind of an issue. And this gets us to the approach or the perspective we have towards work. What does the Bible say about our perspective and approach and thought about work? I've heard this described with a very creative way of looking at it in terms of serving, how we serve. But notice here with verse 24. It says, since you know, this is the NIV version, "since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving." Here's an interesting thing about this verse. This verse is assuming that we know something, or as the NIV puts it, since we know something. We want to keep in mind that we do not work for the Lord in order to receive a reward. But rather, as this verse is pointing out, we know that we have received that reward. And because we know we received that reward, we serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't, it's kind of a logical priority here, or it's logically prior to, the one is logically prior to the other. In other words, we know that our reward, our inheritance, is secure in Christ. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, we know that we have already received this inheritance. And in light of that, we serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord with gladness. A perspective, that's what we're talking about here, perspective on work. And I've heard it described that this perspective from this passage can be looked at from three different angles. We can have this perspective that work is something where we are allowed to be idle and not taking our work seriously. We can also, on the other extreme, view work as an idol. And again, notice the spelling on those words. Idle in the first case is idle, like in not putting a lot of effort. And idle here in the second case is treating work as if it were an idol in and of itself. And then finally, we want to look at it in terms of the ideal. What does the Bible say is the ideal for how we are to approach and have a perspective on our work? Let's look at these three quickly together. The first one is idle. And again, one of the great examples from pop culture on treating work as idle, I-D-L-E, is the show The Office. The Office is a funny show, and when I watch that show, I often think to myself, what if I worked there? How would I fit in, and how would I, and if you know anything about that show, many of the people, not all, but many of the people there are very idle in their work. There's a whole lot of not working being done. In fact, one of my favorite episodes in that series is an episode in which the boss, Michael, and Dwight, one of his key workers, they actually left work that day. And if you remember, if you've seen this episode, they left work that day because Michael was in the process of buying a condo. So he obviously was being very idle on the job, taking office time to run off and meet with his realtor, and Dwight went with him. And so these two employees, the boss and then Dwight, were away from the office for the afternoon doing something that they probably shouldn't have been doing on company time. What do the employees do? Well, we see here, if you're familiar with the show, they have their first annual Dunder Mifflin Olympiad. And so they throughout the afternoon, they had so many different events, and they had a lot of fun. And they certainly were not putting in a lot of work, getting paper sold. And so I think one of the characteristics of that show is seeing work or treating work as very idle. In other words, you do as little as you possibly can. I remember one scene in one episode of The Office. It was Daryl, I think. Not Daryl. Who's the person who is the salesperson?
Okay. What's he look like?
The African-American male. Stanley. Okay, Jake was helping me here. He's sitting with me, so I forgot the character's name. Stanley was, they're in a situation where they were all being encouraged to work a little harder, and Stanley's comment was, hey, I'm just here running out the clock. And so the idea is many of the people who work there were very, very idle. That's one extreme. That's something we need to avoid. We are not called upon to be idle in our work. God has called us to work as in the Lord, and treating work lightly, not taking work seriously, is one of the errors that we need to avoid. On the other extreme, we have the error of treating work as our idol. And that's the thing we give all of our attention to. We see our work as the most important thing. In fact, those who treat work as an idol often are those who find their identity in their work. Again, getting back to the show The Office, I think Dwight would kind of fall into this category. As you know from that show, he always wants to see himself as assistant regional manager, whereas Michael often will correct him and say, you're assistant to the regional manager. But the point is, they are two extremes. Viewing work as something to be idle at, or treating work as an idol in and of itself. And these are both extremes that God would have us to avoid. Work is something that God calls us to. In fact, let's turn now to that third model. And this is the biblical model. This is the ideal of work that God has called us to. You know, work often is seen as something that is part of the fall. But if you read the biblical story, that is really not the case at all. Work was given to man even before the fall. Work was actually a gift to man. Think about it. Think about the creation story. We read that God worked diligently in creating all things. He created man in his image, and then God gave to man the work and the responsibility of having dominion over creation. When the fall came, work became more difficult as the ground was cursed because of the fall. But the fall in and of itself was not the something that brought about work, but rather work is something that God gives to us, and it is a privilege that we have of working as God worked. In fact, this is part of what it means to be an image bearer. God worked hard in creating, in bringing order out of chaos, in establishing his creation. And he wanted to give man the privilege of being part of that, as being part of his image bearers. And so man was given the task of naming the animals, of continuing to bring order out of the chaos, especially the chaos that resulted from the fall. And so our work is not something about which we are to be idle, being lazy in our work. Also, our work is not something that is to give us our identity, but rather it is the ideal that God has given to us. It is a matter of perspective. How do we view the work to which God has called us? And who are we serving? As you saw in the passage we just read, we need to keep the mindset that we are serving the Lord and not necessarily serving the boss. If we just seem to think in terms of serving the boss, we will adopt a mindset of only working when the boss is watching, only serving well when the boss is monitoring our behavior. But when we remember that we're not ultimately serving the boss, but rather we are serving the Lord, we take on a whole new perspective. This reminds me of a very popular fable or story about the building of a cathedral. The story is told about a knight who was traveling through medieval Europe, and he came upon a village, and they were working diligently on building a cathedral in the middle of town. And so the knight on his horse began to ride onto the job site and began to talk to some of the different workers who were working diligently on this cathedral. The knight comes to the first person he finds, and he's laying brick there, and the knight says to him, "What are you doing?" And the workman says, I'm just laying bricks here, just laying bricks. And that's indeed what he was doing, but his perspective was just laying bricks. I think he can be compared to that one who saw work as something that was unimportant, idle, as we saw with the references to the office. And so this knight goes on and begins to continue his walk around the job site. He comes to someone else, and he says, "What you doing there?" Same question. And the person who was working was doing pretty much the same thing. Same question, same thing. But the second individual had a different response to the question. He says, "I am engineering a wall, In fact, I've been called into this assignment because I am one of the best wall engineers around. I have great skill. I've been trained in this. I'm a specialist in building walls. And so here was a worker who very much saw his own skill, his own contributions, and he saw his work as kind of giving him his identity. This is very similar to that idol that we noted before. This knight continues on in his work, in his traveling around the job site, and he comes to a third individual. And again, the third individual is doing pretty much the same thing the other two were doing. And the question put to him is pretty much the same question. What are you doing here? And this third individual stops his work, looks up, and with great pride in his eyes and his voice, he responded with this simple sentence: I am building a cathedral to the Lord. Three different perspectives, all doing the same thing, all responding to the same question. One was just laying bricks. One saw himself as all-important engineering great wall, and one saw the work as building a cathedral unto the Lord. How do we view work? Do we view our work in just laying bricks? Or do we recognize that we are building something to the Lord himself? This reminds me of a wonderful quote from Dorothy Sayers, who again captures what it means to work and how work is a fulfillment of who we are. Here's what Dorothy Sayers says: work is not primarily a thing one does to live, but the thing one lives to do. It is, or it should be, the full expression of a worker's faculties. Let me read that again. Our work is to be a full expression of a worker's faculties. Do we give 100%, or do we treat work as idle? Going along with Dorothy Sayers, it says, it's the thing to which he finds spiritual, mental, and bodily satisfaction, and the medium in which he offers himself to God. That's a perspective on work. Do we view our work as something, that medium to which we offer ourselves to God, giving ourselves fully, spiritually, mentally, and bodily, and it is a full expression of all of our capacities and faculties? This is what God has called us to. This is the biblical ideal for our work. As we've been doing throughout this study, we want to compare some of the words from the book of Ephesians. As you know, Colossians and Ephesians have many parallel passages, and here is just one more of those as Paul deals with this third relationship from the letter to the Ephesians. It says here in verses 5 and 6, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Notice in that passage, two kinds of slaves talked about there. There's a slave to men, where our whole focus is the men that we would serve. There's also that slave to Christ, and the Bible tells us that we are all slaves to Christ. Now, it's not mentioned in this passage, but in other places in the writings of the Apostle Paul, he also talks about being a slave to sin. And when we are a slave to sin, this is where our work begins to suffer. This is where our work becomes our idol, or we become idle in our work. Now, one of the interesting things about this passage, I'm going to now look at the King James Version of this very same passage from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Let me read this little portion here. Paul says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In the King James Version, you notice that the word eye service is used and the word men pleasers is used. These are actually very literal translations of these words. In fact, these were words that Paul himself coined. These are not typically Greek words. These are words that Paul coined himself for the purpose. And the word is indeed as they are here in these compound words. It is the word I and service attached together. It is the word men and pleasers attached together. Paul uses the very same words in our Colossians passage. Here is the same passage from Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes are on you, Paul uses that word, eye service, and to win their favor. Again, the Greek word behind that is men pleasers. So are we a eye service kind of person, or are we a God service kind of person? Are we one who seeks to please men or to please God? This reminds